someone that joins us very often to talk about the draft, the man who runs NDT Scouting, who's made a lot of strides in the last few years, adding people, got the draft guide every year, which we love, and that's Kyle Krabs. Kyle, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, this is second time here. Enjoy it more and more each time. It's you kind of settle into your groove. You get to focus and hammer out some work. So finally getting the on-field testing and getting some numbers to crunch.
One thing we actually haven't talked a ton about today, Paul, is the tackle class, believe it or not. We haven't asked a bunch of questions about it, so let's go there. We've had some testing today coming in. I'm not sure if anybody really thought any of these guys were worth a top 15 pick. What's your thoughts after today of the class? Where you think they're going to start falling off the board?
Sure. Man, you look at a team like Cincinnati and picking in the top 15, and that team just desperately needs quality offensive linemen, offensive tackle specifically. And a name that's been popular to plug there is Orlando Brown.
Well, not anymore.
I don't know what Orlando Brown did with his pre-draft testing or his training for this event, but you would have thought he just walked in off the street. You know, he was extremely poor with his athletic testing. It was, historically speaking, I keep a data pool of the past 12 years or so of combine data for athletes at each position. He's bottom tier, like historically, in almost every test.
In the last decade.
Yeah. I think slowest 40-yard dash time since 2003. He's the fifth slowest I saw. He had a sub-20-inch vertical jump. For perspective, Connor Williams jumped 34 inches today. His standing broad jump was 6'10", and I believe he measured in at 6'8". So he jumped 2 inches further on his distance jump than his actual height. He could have just fallen over and
That's
essentially
amazing.
Got the same score. I've never seen it. This is an exceptionally poor, and even more specifically, the body composition's not great.
You know, it's funny. I saw him at the podium yesterday, and I was shocked. And I said to Paul, I go, Paul, I thought he'd be thicker.
Yeah.
But he wasn't.
Yeah, he just carries a lot of extra weight in his abdomen. And, you know, he said it himself. He said, I've been a fat kid my entire life. So there's some work to be done there. And I think he's a player that's added more questions than answers throughout his process here.
I want to go through a couple of comments that he made yesterday, which makes this triply surprising for me.
Yeah.
Okay? He said it's important for him to be around a locker room and be a leader because he's done it his whole life because his father was a pro player, and he has seen what an impact that can have on a team. That doesn't seem to coincide with what he did today. He talked about Villanueva was a guy he modeled himself after, especially in the run game. Whitworth was another guy he modeled himself after, as well as Lawan and Okung for their footwork, and said that his football IQ is what separates him from all the other tackles that are going to be on the board. And then he goes and does this.
Well, I would say the football IQ is a fair statement and assessment of his own game. That's where he's smart, and I think he does play to his strengths.
Not smart to do what he did today.
No. This athletic testing and putting your money where your mouth is and being a leader and being prepared for this, either his baseline was so exceptionally low that you know he couldn't do anything, which is hard to believe as a long-term starter at Oklahoma, or his preparations missed the mark, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So
his pro day is going to be key now.
Yes, he's a player that we're going to have that pro day date circled on the calendar. We're going to have to see, and he's going to have to make notable improvements across the board to make teams feel better about where he's at.
So between his testing, Connor Williams coming in with a 33-inch arm length, which for a tackle is a pretty big red flag. I remember Justin Pugh a few years ago. Mm-hmm. He came in at, 33 and a quarter, and people worried about him playing tackle. Does that mean Mike McGlinchey now is bottom line top tackle on the board for, you think, most teams?
It's funny how this all comes full circle, right? Around this time last year, people were talking about 2018 offensive tackle class, and it was Mike McGlinchey.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike McGlinchey comes out against Georgia, and he gets whooped up, and they lose the football game. He gives up the game-losing sack, and he struggled against Miami with speed, and people get down on Mike McGlinchey. And here we are at the Combine, and other guys have questions, and Mike McGlinchey is all of a sudden a name that's right back up at the top where we started 12 months ago.
Yeah.
It's fascinating part of the draft process. I personally still would like to give Connor Williams the benefit of the doubt to start outside and play your way in. If you have a hard time playing there, or if you're a team that has an established left tackle and you want to upgrade your offensive line short and long term, you can play him at guard to start. But I would still want to give him the opportunity to try and play outside a tackle at some point.
What people have said to you about Williams is that his 2017 tape, and he only played 5 games this year with the knee injury, it quote-unquote fell off a cliff from 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that assessment?
I definitely think he was not as polished as far as his movement and the angles that he took and his hand work. And, yeah, the technical side of his game was – but I did like what I saw once he came back from the knee injury. He had the meniscus tear.
And he played two games, right,
at the end
of the year?
Two seasons at the back end of the season. And he got his mean streak back, I thought. You know, they played West Virginia, I believe, the first game that he came back. And he's uprooting guys and riding them into the ground. And he's back to burying people. So I really like the fact that it would have been really easy to just punt on the rest of the season and say, well, I'm going to get my knee right. I'm going to train for the combine. He came back and played with his team. And I thought his better showings were at the back end of the year as compared to the beginning of the year.
I think it's only appropriate, since you're the last guest on the last show we're doing this week, that I ask you, even though the combine still has some more days to go, who's the one guy who has really jumped up for you as the result of what's happened here so far?
Well, we're talking about the offensive tackle class. UCLA offensive tackle Colton Miller had himself a spectacular day today. He had a standing broad jump of 10-1. In comparison, that's almost twice what Orlando Brown jumped. Mm-hmm. He's a legit 6'8". He's long. He's athletic. He looked really good in the test, the field testing, and his ability to move his feet.
How about strength, though, for him?
Functional strength, core strength was where I thought he was weak on film, where he was collapsed, and then there were other times where he was impatient on his pass-blocking platform. He was too eager to get into contact instead of letting guys come to him. Mm-hmm. But he looked really smooth in the field drills, which was one of my primary concerns. So I'm excited now to see if we get a little positive momentum on him and to go back and rewatch the film and try and cross-check. I'm seeing he's really able to stay tall on his hips and not waste movement. Wasted movement is a kiss of death for an offensive lineman because you have to be able to redirect against these super athletic defensive linemen.
Sure.
So I want to go back and cross-reference Colt Miller, but I thought he had excellent testing and on-field drill specifics for functional skills as well.
Great. All right, second round, third round, let's talk middle of the draft as you dive deep into a lot of the bottom prospects here. And I know that's what you really like. Giants looking for linebacker middle rounds. Who do you like?
Darius Leonard, South Carolina State kid, is super athletic.
I like him.
Yeah, he can get into pursuit really, really well. He flies around the field. I like Tigray Scales from Indiana as well. He's not somebody that was invited to the Senior Bowl, but I was surprised by that because I watched his film. I think he's a new age type linebacker in the NFL where he's a little undersized. He's around 6 foot. He's around 230, but he can play in space. He's great in pursuit, and for that Indiana defense, he was consistently the guy that was making splash plays, sacks, turnovers, tackles for loss. So I thought he was a little bit of a ball magnet that I was surprised, so I'm hoping to get some clarity here once we get around to linebackers, and I continue to talk to folks here at the Combine and figure out why wasn't Tigray Scales somebody that got an invite to the Senior Bowl, because I thought he was much more worthy than some of the kids that were invited and were at the event.
You know, when we talk about the third day for the Giants, I think we're kind of thinking that there are so many blue-chip guys at some of the positions they need, like offensive line, like maybe even running back in the top three rounds. We don't talk about the fact that Betcher is probably going to go defensive back heavy. That's what he does, a lot of dime and nickel packages in his defense. Are there third-day defensive backs who have enough of a make-it grade that you would start looking at them?
Yeah, there's some really fascinating prospects in the safety class specifically that give you multiplicity on the back end.
And that's what they need.
So if you need personnel groups where you can trot a guy out and he can be that third safety, you know, you see some teams starting to implement three safeties, he can come down into the slot and play some man-to-man coverage. I think one is Justin Reed from Stanford. I don't know how late he's going to be on the board because I think my personal valuation for him is much higher than – where the narrative has
I guess
has
he's
put
smart.
Him. Yeah. But he can play man-to-man coverage and lock guys up in man-to-man. I thought that was one of his best traits, and then getting his head back around late to locate the football. He's a really good guy. Trayvon Henderson, the safety from Hawaii, had a really great showing at the Senior Bowl, and he was really reliable in coverage in the back end and had some man-to-man reps on film at Hawaii as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know as far as necessarily the corner-specific groups. That's one of the areas where I'm still – about middle tier, I still have that bottom half of my list that I want to continue to work through. But from the safety perspective specifically, there's three or four names off the top of my head that I can automatically think of to say if you need a middle round guy, the South Alabama kid, Jeremy Reeves, is another one that can play safety. He can play man-to-man.
He was at the Senior Bowl.
Has some experience at corner as well. And, I mean, he had an interception in the Senior Bowl game. He was one of the best performers throughout that week with consistency. So I think you're looking for hybrid guys in the back end. And defensive coordinators love that because now offensive coordinators can't key on your personnel groups quite as easily if you got a guy that you can move around.
Final question before we get your prediction for the Giants. If you take a look at this group, the Giants might need some more depth at the pass rushing position. Olivier Vernon, Jason Pierre-Paul played an awful lot of snaps last year, and they're going to the 3-4. Those hybrid 3-4 stand-up rushers, who do you like? Maybe not first round, but third, fourth, fifth.
I like Kamoko Touré from Rutgers a whole lot.
How about that?
He had a terrific showing at the Senior Bowl, and I had the chance to sit down and talk with him for about 5 minutes at the Senior Bowl. Most engaging interview I've had in 3-4 years of doing draft work. And, getting into his personal background and talking about, he was a player that had two shoulder surgeries, one on each shoulder.
Missed all of 2016, right?
Cost him essentially two full seasons. And he talked about, you know, being a basketball kid growing up and having to embrace the football culture of being in a weight room and molding your body and changing your body. And he talked about that process and how hard that was for him to spend 2 years sitting and watching your teammates play without you. And then seeing him put it together for a strong senior season where he actually played the run fairly well as well and had a great showing at the Senior Bowl. I think he has some terrific cornering skills. He's a guy I really like.
All right, finally, Giants pick first, second round. Give it to me. I want two.
I would love to see him take Josh Rosen, personally, set the table for long-term, the heir to Eli Manning. And second round, you know, maybe Ronald Jones? Get a running back. I'm going to go sexy picks here for the Giants, and let's get
two
some
California
skill guys.
Kids, huh?
Got them signing old linemen in free agency.
Yeah,
because they got to get them somewhere.
Yeah, and I don't know what guards you're going to take that you feel good that early in the second round, except for maybe Austin Corbett from Nevada.
Think Hernandez and Wynn are gone by then?
I think Hernandez is probably gone, and I definitely think Wynn is gone. I think Wynn's probably going to go top 20.
How about Daniels and Price?
Wow.
Price is interesting because he had the pec tear. So he may be in play there if teams feel like he's not somebody that's going to be able to play in training camp, although his camp is saying that they're expecting him. It's a minor thing that he should be good to go for training camp.
Mm-hmm. How about Daniels from Iowa?
I like Daniels. I'm not as crazy as him as some of my contemporaries are. I know he's really effective uprooting guys, and he's technically polished. I just thought he was a little wild in space, so I think he's got a little room to grow in that capacity. But as far as his point of attack stuff, he's very polished. He's going to be a day one starter for somebody.
My man. Kyle Krabs, NDT
Thank
Scouting.
You, appreciate it.
His draft guide will launch in a few weeks. Keep your eye on it. You can follow NDT Scouting on Twitter. You can get it there.